So I'm Fred, and I farm at Gothenny Farm with my family. It's a farm partnership with my mum and dad, myself, my sister and brother-in-law. And the farm also hosts to Field Bakery, which is Rosie Benson's bakery. So I've been farming here since 2007. And the business I took over was run by my aunt. And it was a business really trapped in the commodity system. And by which I mean a system where, as a grower, you're completely disenfranchised because you don't control your price. Where we are now is more connected, agroecological type of farming system, a reflection of the fact that we're pushing against where we were before. And it's an attempt to connect directly with our customer so we can communicate the values of our system. When I was using chemicals the first 5 years, we were using more chemicals. We were stacking them together. The yields weren't going up. It was like a race to the bottom, really. That's what it felt like. Biologically broken system. I feel like as a farmer, being able to say and decide how you want to farm also means you have to consider big questions about the food system. So growing wheat that is adaptable rather than trying to adapt our environment to grow the wheat that we want. So the ultimate goal is to create a new cross-composite population, which is a genetically diverse wheat crop. And to do that, you need to make crosses of different wheat varieties. And each cross gives you lots more genetic diversity, which you can then bulk up and grow in the field. But when you make a cross, you obviously have to make a choice about which parents are part of that cross. And so part of the choice of parents is agronomic. So if you introduce genetic diversity into a wheat crop, so the wheat, instead of being a single variety, becomes a population, that kind of diversity, selection pressure can act on that. And then you have a kind of evolutionary potential of your wheat. So instead of selection pressure ruining your wheat, it actually makes it better year on year. I think it's a good example of an agroecological practice. Instead of trying to adapt our environment to what we want to do, we're saying no, let's be adaptive. But so in terms of wheat, how do you introduce that genetic diversity? This laboratory equipment will enable us to choose the right parents, or at least for us to devote our limited time and resources to parents that are more likely to be the right parents. Because one of the things I have learned through using this testing equipment is that it's not always right. I remember very distinctly that I visited Shipton Mill with Rosie, who's the bake who has her bakery on the farm, and we used all this lab equipment at Shipton. It was incredible. We did all these tests, and they basically said that this of the 4 wheats that we brought to test, one wheat was going to be great, and the others were a complete waste of time and wouldn't make bread. And then at lunch, Rosie got out the van for pretty much identical looking loaves of bread. And it was a great example of how like adaptive processes in the supply chain of someone with their hands and their skills really in tune with the dough. She had done subtle things that she probably didn't even realize she was doing and had made bread with all four. So what these pieces of equipment enable us to do is to get a sense of the quality of the baking quality, the milling quality of these potential parents. So there's four bits of equipment. The first is a laboratory mill, which prepares the samples in a kind of standardized way. The second is a Hagberg, which tests for alpha amylase activity in the grain, which is we found working directly in small supply chains that Berg falling number is a really important characteristic of baking quality. And there is a genetic component to how it's defined. So that's an important characteristic. And then the third is a near-infrared machine, which analyzes moisture and protein. And protein is often what people think about when they think about quality of wheat or quality of flour. And a high protein is better than a low protein. But also what we've observed is that some wheats have very high protein, maybe 14 or 15%, but they are difficult to work with. And therefore, it's about a nuanced kind of quality of the protein also matters. So the fourth machine is called a glutamat. And this has three elements. It has a gluten wash, a centrifuge, and a dry gluten, which is like a kind of toasty maker. It basically bakes off the dough. And from those three elements, you create what's called a gluten index. And the gluten index is a reasonably reliable measure of functionality in the dough. So it's a good sort of example of protein quality. And what all of those things together, taken together, we'll be able to say, okay, out of these 100 different varieties that we're looking at as a potential parent, we will consider these 20 based on what does well in an organic low input system. And of these 20, we will consider these 5 because they also have good quality characteristics. And that will enable us to push our time and resources into 5 varieties instead of 100, which as a kind of grassroots bottom-up participatory breeding project. So there's a wider scope of relevance for the machinery, very long-term. I mean, also, I'm telling you today what I think the project is. This is a project we started in 2015, so we're already 8 years in, and it's continually evolving and emerging which direction we take as we learn more. So it's really exciting, really exciting. The Dean Organic Fund enable us to farm in our own image because these bits of equipment are part of a whole story about ecologically focused farming. So growing wheat that is adaptable rather than trying to adapt our environment to grow the wheat that we want. And would we have gone to a bank at the moment? We might have tried, but I imagine that process would have been quite a long process. And there was a kind of time constraint around this, getting this equipment. And also interest rates are really high. I'm not sure I would have made the decision to burden the farm with more interest loaded debt at this point. I'm not sure we were taking this opportunity with this equipment if we hadn't have had the organic fund support us. And I would say it's really difficult because the kind of values and the language that we're speaking from a kind of agroecological community are different to the values. And there's a kind of disconnect between the two things. And what was really nice about the Dean Fund was that it absolutely spoke the language that was one of the reasons why it was so accessible, because it was talking the same language as us from the start. I had a chance encounter with my friend George, who's an organic farmer down in Exeter, and he said, "Oh, have you heard about the Dean Organic Fund?" And he sent me the link. And I also, then I found out that it was administered by ORC, and I have a fairly long-term relationship with ORC through Charlotte Bickler, specifically with the grain legislation work that she's part of. And so then I felt like it was even more accessible to me, an obvious choice, because I already sort of had a kind of degree of trust with that.